I'm still putting some things together on loving life and seeing good days. Until then, I'm just going to go through some Psalms. I'm putting some things together and may even preach a few messages on that, of loving life and seeing good days. I think we all want to love life and see good days. You know, not everyone does love life, and not everyone does see good days, but it is a possibility. And if you're a believer, God can help make that happen for you. He can. Here in Psalm 91, a very familiar psalm, many title this as a messianic psalm. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, a messianic psalm is a psalm that is written prophetically of what is going to take place in the life of the Lord Jesus, who is the Messiah. And so it's kind of written with Christ in view. Now, that doesn't mean that the truth of that psalm cannot be applied to us, because it certainly can, and that's true of this psalm. The psalm as a whole, there's one verse of scripture that I want to give some truth out of tonight with the Lord's help that I hope will encourage you to pray. I told Sharon today, I said, you know, I need to pray more. Well, I actually said, we need to pray more. We need to pray more. Just taking a walk today, and God just laid on my heart, you know, it's just need to pray more. And perhaps you do. I don't know. I don't know what your prayer life is. You get to talking about prayer, and sometimes if we're not careful, we try to make people feel guilty. And that's certainly not what I'm trying to do. I want to challenge you. I don't want you to feel guilty. The fact that you're conscious that you need to pray at all is a good thing. And so I just want to encourage you to spend time in prayer. I'm going to give you some reasons why out of this psalm. Just one verse of scripture, I'm going to give you some reasons why. Now, this psalm is talking about trusting God. And if you'll just in Psalm 1, he that dwelleth, Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. And I hope that every person sitting under the sound of my voice can echo that. I trust God. I not only have trusted him as my Savior, but I trust him with my life. I trust him with what's left of my life. I've tried to trust him in my life as a believer, and I can't say that I've always trusted him as I should, but I want to trust the Lord, and I want to just give him absolute confidence that I trust him in every area of my life. Now, the psalmist here said there's three things in the psalm. He said, first of all, he said, you can trust him in the times of trial. And in verses 1 through 4, he mentions about being delivered. He mentions God being his fortress, his refuge. He speaks of pestilence, and he speaks of snares. And he said, you know, you can trust God in the trials of life. And brethren, we all face trials. And perhaps there's someone even here tonight that's going through a very deep trial. And I don't mean for this to sound frivolous. I mean it seriously. You can trust the Lord. You know, you can't always trust man. You can't always trust yourself. But you can trust the Lord. And that's what he said. And he said, there's a place that you can get that you will know that you can trust him. And that is in the secret place of the Most High. God reveals himself in a special way. God makes himself known in the secret place. And so I want to encourage you to get in the secret place. Get in the place of prayer. Shut the world out. There's a lot of noise in the world. There's a lot of noise in my life. And there's a lot of noise in your life. And learn what it is to shut out the noise and have that quiet time, that secret place with God, with the Almighty. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. And as we're with God and as we're praying and as we're talking to the Lord and we're communing with Him, well, He teaches us to trust Him. He shows Himself to us. Notice some of the wording that's mentioned in verse number 2. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He says in verse number 3, He shall deliver. He shall cover thee. He's just, God shows Himself when you're in that closet of prayer, when I'm in that secret place, when I'm praying to God, God reveals Himself in a special way to let me know, you can trust me. You can trust me. You can trust me in your trials. Then if you'll notice in verse number 5, it picks up a little bit. He said, you can trust me in your terrors. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. And I tell you, some of the things that are going on in our world today are terrible. I mean, it's a terror. It is frightening. And so God is saying, just get up under my wing. I'll protect you. You can trust me. When you can't trust anything or anyone else, brethren, we can trust God. And so he, all the way down through verse number 10, he talks about the terrors and evil. He said in verse number 10 there, for there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And so he said, you can trust me in the trials. You know, come to me. Get under my wing. Get in the secret place. Fellowship with me. Commune with me. And I will teach you what it is to trust me in the time of trial, in the time of terror. And then he says here in verse number 11, right on down through the remainder of the chapter, in the time of temptation. Now, that's three things that we all face. Some of them more often than others, but we face all three of these things in our life. And God is saying here, you can trust me. And the way that you learn to trust God is commune with Him. And the way you commune with Him is through His Word and in the secret place. That is what communion is. It's communication with God. God talks to me through His Word, and I talk to God through prayer. And I'm learning to allow God to talk to me in prayer instead of just doing all the talking, right? You say, well, I've been doing that for a while. Well, it takes me a little while to catch on. So there's a verse of Scripture here that I want us to look at, and it's the verse 15. And I just want to, I think there's some encouragements to pray here. There's some encouragements to get in that secret place, to get under the shadow of the Almighty. And I think it's here in verse number 15. So look at it with me, if you would. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And then he closes it by saying, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So God says, you get in the secret place. You get under my wing. I'll show you some things. I'll show you some things I'll do for you. And I think all of us need to see that in our lives at some point. And if we've already seen it, we just need to be reminded that God is not going to go back on His promise. God is faithful, and God will do these things for us throughout our sojourn here on the earth. Let's bow for prayer, and then I just want to make a comment about these promises, and we'll take some prayer requests and have a season of prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, we need you. I need you. I thank you, Lord, for the promises of your Word. You're faithful. God, forgive us when we forget your faithfulness, because great is thy faithfulness. You're always faithful, whether we realize it or not. And I pray that we would ever remember the faithfulness of our God, the goodness of our God. You've never let us down, and we thank you for that. Help us to be faithful to you. And God, help us to long in our hearts not to let you down. And so we pray you would teach us to pray. And I pray from these encouragements tonight that we would be encouraged to pray more and to spend more time in the secret place. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse number 15, the first thing that I want you to notice, I've just got some words, and maybe you'll write them down or maybe just try to remember them in your mind. In verse number 15, he said, he shall call upon me, and I will, and here's our first word, answer. I will answer him. You know, the very fact that God tells me, if you'll talk to me, I'll talk to you. That's good for me. I need God to talk to me. I like it when I hear from God. I do. I love good teaching. I love good preaching. I love good singing. I love when God's people are ministering. I love it. But there is nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, that will replace the voice of God in your life. When God is speaking to you, when God is ministering to your heart, when you are being ministered to, when you're in the presence of the Almighty, there's just nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And so he said, if you will, he said, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. And so that's a great promise from God's word. You know, if there were no other promise in all of God's word for me to pray, that's good enough for me. Now, there's many other promises in God's word to pray. But if that's the only promise I had, is God to say this, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God has said over and over again, you come to me, you call upon me, you ask of me, you prove me, and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. You call, you talk to me, and see if I won't answer you. Right? Now, it may not be in the way we expect it. As a matter of fact, probably more times than not, it's not. Because we not only make our prayer requests, but we give God the answer too, right? I mean, I'm guilty of that. I don't think I'm the only one. Or I'm looking for I'm thinking that it's going to happen this way or that way. And sometimes it does. But, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God knows what I need. I don't know what I need. I think I do sometimes. Brethren, we don't know. Sometimes it's very easy to just get mistaken and get things out of kilter and to think that we know what's best for us or for this ministry or for our homes or our families. But God knows what's best. And so God help me to get behind him, and God help you to get behind me, to get as I get behind him, and let's just follow the Lord. Amen. God will lead us to where we need to be in all matters of life. And so here's the first promise. He said, you call unto me. I will answer you. I will acknowledge what you're asking, and I will answer. And I'll do what's best for you. And listen, when you look at that word answer, within that is not just an acknowledgement, it's an activity. Look at it sometime. The word answer, it's very interesting. When you look at that word, it's saying that I will not only acknowledge the fact that you've asked me or called on me, but I will get actively involved in that request. And I will do what is best for you and for that situation. That encourages me. That encourages me because I know God knows what's best. And so that is an encouragement for me to pray. And I hope it's an encouragement for you to pray as well. The second thing that he mentioned is not just answer, but association. Notice what he said here. He said, I not only will answer him, look at what he said, I will be with him. Amen. He said, I will be with him. In other words, God said, you will know my presence. You will sense, you will have an awareness that I'm on the task, that I'm involved in this situation. There's no greater assurance in all the world than to know that God is on your team. That God is involved in your need. That God is involved in your situation. And that's what he's saying here. He said, if he shall call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Now, whether I'm in trouble or out of trouble, I don't think God is just saying I'll only be with him in trouble. He's just saying I will be with him even in trouble. And so he's saying I will be with him. He will have an awareness of me, my presence. And brethren, after all, isn't that really what we're after? I mean, why do we pray? Why do we read the Word of God? Why do we worship? Why do we sing? We sing to praise God. We worship. Why? Because when we praise God, when we worship God, God shows up. He inhabits the praises of his people. And now I'm being told, when you pray, not only when you praise will I show up, but when you pray, I'll show up. And I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged by the fact that God said, when you pray, I'll let you know. And brethren, you know God has a way of letting us know that he is on the job. He's on the task. That he is aware. That he is acknowledging our request. And so he said, well, I will be with you. It's not I might be or I'll wait and see, you know, what the situation is. He said, I will let you know. I will let you know. I will give you an awareness that I'm involved in that. Can I tell you, God's been faithful to do that for me over and over again. And I don't think that there's anyone sitting here that's been saved for any length of time that couldn't give the same testimony. God will make himself known to you. Can I tell you, much prayer, much awareness. Now, please listen to me. Much prayer, much awareness. Little prayer, little awareness. Now, I'm thankful for the awareness of God. I'm thankful for the presence of God. But I'm learning that as I commune with him, as I worship him, as I read his word, and as I pray, and as I get in the secret place, I'm aware of his presence more. And that's, to me, the greatest goal in life, is to constantly be aware of the presence of God. Now, God is always there, right? Right? He's omnipresent. God is always there. But it's just different when he's there and you know it. I mean, you sense it. It's that presence. It's that awareness that God is there. It's very humbling. It's humbling, it's uplifting, it's satisfying. He actually said it in verse number 16. He said, with long life will I satisfy him. All your life, he said, I'll be faithful to you. Amen. I'll satisfy you. You get in that secret place. You come to me. You let your request be made known. You call unto me. I'll answer you, he said. I'll let you know I'm there. Now, there's times in my Christian experience I've gone through droughts. Everyone goes through droughts. Perhaps there's someone even tonight in this sanctuary that is going through a drought. And you're wondering, where is God? Can I tell you that the patriarchs of the faith, the men and women of God in this book, the Word of God, they experienced that dryness. We're no different from them. There's dry spells in the life of the believer, aren't they, brethren? You say, well, what do you do during those times, preacher? Well, you know, you just keep doing what's right. You just keep doing what you know to do. You just keep attending the church. You keep reading the word. You keep giving out the word. You get in the secret place, and God will break through now. God will break through. He always does. He's faithful that way. Sometimes you have to do without something or someone before you really realize their value to you. Sometimes you have to go without something before you realize how much it really means for you to have it. And I think that if we're not careful, we can become familiar with family. We can become familiar with all the blessings of God and even God himself if we're not careful. And we'll come to a church service and sit and listen and talk and laugh, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But if you don't worship now, if you don't worship God the first time, it becomes easier not to worship God the next time, and then the next time. And church will not be a time of worship for you. Church will be a time of fellowshipping with God's people. And there's nothing wrong with fellowshipping with God's people, but I want to fellowship with God first and foremost. And I believe you do too. I do. And so God help us to have that awareness, right? And so he said that association. You know, I thought about this when I was sitting at my desk today. I thought about Adam back in Genesis. And I'll never forget. I want you to turn there, if you would, in Genesis chapter number 3. I remember, I don't know, it's been many years ago, 40. And there was a man that was a pastor that I had great respect for, was one of my teachers in Bible college. And he was teaching in the book of Romans. And he asked us a question. He said, "How do you view God when you do wrong?" That was kind of an odd question from the part of Romans we were in. And he said, "Well, let me help you out here." He said, "Maybe you don't know. Let me help you out." So he said, "Turn to Genesis chapter 3. And he said, "Now I want you to go." And he read where Eve took of the fruit. And then he read where she gave it to Adam and he took. And that's in chapter 3, verse 6, 7, 8. And you know what they did. You know, they hid themselves. They ran from God. They hid themselves. They were ashamed. That's what sin does. Sin makes us ashamed, makes us feel guilty. And then the scripture says in verse number 8, after they had tried to cover themselves by sewing fig leaves and made aprons for themselves in verse number 7, it says in verse number 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What a statement. You know, I mean, when you think about that, here's a man and a woman that had, I mean, directly, deliberately disobeyed the command of God. And God came for fellowship. If you're not careful now, you'll think, well, God doesn't want a fellowship with me. There's billions of people upon the earth. I had a man, I've said this before, I used to work for a man, and I still pray for him. His name was Dale, too. And I witnessed to him one day in the office, and he said, "You know, I appreciate all that." He said, "But if I came to your church," and that's what he called it, you know, "if I came to your church," he said, "the roof would cave in." I said, "Well, come on." I said, "And if it does," I said, "we've got some folks that'll help put it back together." And he said, "Dale," he said, "don't you think that he kind of pointed out, "has got bigger fish to fry?" And I said, I'm not going to tell you all I said, but I let him know, "Dale, you don't understand how much God loves you. I used to didn't. God loves you. He loves you so much. It is his desire to know you in that intimate way of fellowship outside of your sin. He wants to forgive you." Now, here's Adam and Eve, and I want you to watch what God does. God goes to them. God goes to them. You know, there's a song that we used to sing here, "He Came to Me." I'm glad God came to me. I'm glad God came to me. And I'm glad God called me by name. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says the Lord God called unto Adam. Adam. Called him by his name. Adam, he said. Yeah. "Where art thou?" And the scripture says that Adam said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Now, my college teacher said, "How do you read verse number 9? He said, "The way you read verse number 9 will tell me your view of God. Do you read it like, 'Adam, where art thou? Get in here. What have you done?'" If you read verse number 9 that way, you have an erroneous view of who God is. That is not the way God called Adam. God came seeking Adam to give him forgiveness, to offer him restored and renewed fellowship. And God called softly, and he said unto him, "Adam," almost with brokenness, "where art thou?" God knew where Adam was. God wanted Adam to know where he was, because God is good that way. God already knew where. God knows everything. God wasn't asking for his information. God was asking so Adam would have information. "I messed up, didn't I, God?" "Yes, you did, son." Well, that's not what Adam said, actually. He said, "You know, God, it's that woman. you know? And it's almost like God was saying, yes, son, I know. I know, but isn't there more? And he said, if you'll go on down through there in verse number 11, he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? And hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree. See how God's leading him back? See how good God is? And then Adam confessed and said, and I did eat. That's what God was after. I did it, Lord. It wasn't you. It wasn't the woman. I did it. That's what God wants from me. That's what God's looking for from you. I did it. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me, O Lord. I'm sorry. And you know the story. Now let's go back to Psalm and we'll close this out. I'm going to give you a few more things out of here. So he said, first of all, answer. He said, if you'll call unto me, I will answer you. I will. And he said, not only that, he said in verse number 15, he said, I will be with him in trouble. Association. He said, I'll be right there with you. I'll restore and I'll make myself known to you. But now, I wrote this word down. Alleviate. I will deliver him. Notice what he said. I will deliver him. I'm going to take care of the things that are bothering him. Now, sometimes God will allow us to be bothered. Sometimes God will allow us to pass through storms. I'm glad that he doesn't remove everything that bothers me, and I would no way stand up here and preach that to you. God does not remove everything that bothers you or me. Jesus made it very clear, in this world you shall have tribulation. But he didn't say, I'm going to remove all that from you. He just said, I've overcome it, and I'm on your side. Now, I paraphrase, but that's basically what it was saying. And he said, I will give you peace, even in the midst of the storm. And Jesus can do that. Amen. Aren't you glad God can do that? And so he said, I'm going to help you. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 46, verse number 1. God said, listen, God is our refuge and he's our strength. He's our refuge. He will help us in the time of trouble. He's our strength. He will give us strength to go through the time of trouble. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And that's exactly what this Psalm is saying. He's saying, you know, I will be there. You talk to me. You talk to me. I want to hear from you. I want to show myself strong on your behalf. I will deliver you. You talk to me. You bring it to me. Oh, listen, the songwriter said, oh, listen. He said, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Right? Isn't that what the songwriter put? Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The songwriter is right, brethren. There's just things that we don't have to go through alone. Sometimes we don't have to go through it all. We just need to come to God in prayer and say, God, I need your help, and God will deliver us. Or God, I need your help. Would you walk by my side through this trial? God, would you walk with me? Would you guide me? Would you navigate me? I can't see for the storm. Would you be my eyes? God, would you see me through to the other side? And God has said, I will answer him. Yes, I will, son. Yes, I will. Get under my wing. Get under my shadow. Get in the secret place so I can teach you to trust me in every situation. God, help me to trust you. God, help you to trust him. He's worthy to be trusted, brethren. God can be trusted. And yet the flesh and the devil and doubt just causes us to think less of God than what we should, and certainly of what he is. And so alleviate. Alleviate. I wrote this down because as I was sitting at my desk, I thought about all the things. And if you're here, and I thought twice about saying this, but I'm just going to say it because I think you know me better than I'm not saying that if you're on a medication, you're outside of God's will. I would never say that. I don't know what your situation is. But But I will say this, America's on drugs. It just seems like that we think that the answer's in a bottle or a pill. And I'm not saying that if you have a legitimate situation that there's not a time that where you would need some medical or even some psychological help, as long as it's from a Christian perspective. But I am saying this, there's no greater solace, no greater solace that your soul, that my soul hungers for than that quiet time, that secret place with God, where God just lets us know, I'm aware of your situation. I'm aware. And he just whispers peace, right? Jesus said in John 14, he said, my peace I leave with you. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There have been times that I have been so afraid, worried, burdened, broken. And it's like I could hear Jesus just whisper that in my heart. There's nothing like it. There's no peace like his peace. And he said here in verse number 15, I will be with him in trouble. If you're here tonight and your soul is troubled, I want you to know something. You have a promise from God's word that he will be with you. You say, well, how will I know it? Get in the secret place. Get under the shadow of the Almighty. God wants to show himself strong in your behalf. And then finally, he said, not only am I the answer, not only will I associate, will I show myself strong, not only will I alleviate, will I show up, and I will give you that tranquility and that peace that passeth all understanding. I'll give you a peace that can't be found through a prescription, that can't be found in any man-made way. God said, I'll give you a peace that comes from me, my peace I'm going to give to you. And then he said this, he said, not only that, he said, but I want to give you some accolades. He said, I'm going to honor you. It's not enough that God would say, you know, I want you to bring me your request, I want you to come to me. But he said, if you will do that, I'm going to honor you. Isn't that something that God does that? I'm amazed at that. That everything that I just read to you from the Word of God, God is saying, I want to do for you, and I'm going to reward you for it. I mean, it's not as if him answering my prayer is not reward enough. Of him letting me know his presence is not reward enough. Of him alleviating the pain and giving me peace in spite of the pain. Sometimes God doesn't remove the pain. He just gives me a peace in the storm. But now he said, I will honor. Look at what he said here in verse number 15, the last. He said, and honor him. God said, I'll honor. Now, how does God honor? Well, I'm going to say this. It would do us well to quit seeking the honor of this system that we live in. This world system, I'm not trying to get the honor of man. Now, there's a part of me that if I'm not careful, I'll lean that way, and then God reminds me, that's not where it's at, son. That's not where it's at. I want to honor God, and I believe you do too. Now, how do we do that? I think the psalm said right here, we trust him. You want to honor God? Trust him. Trust him. That honors God. When we trust him, when we let him know, God, I take you at your word. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to act upon what you have said. Living by faith. How about it, brethren? God encouraged me and you to pray. Let us pray more. Now, I would be remiss and not a very good pastor to you if I left this psalm without mentioning something to you. If you'll look in verse number 1 and 2, I want to give you something that I hope will encourage you now to take your prayer to God to get in that secret place. There's four mentions of who God is in verse 1 and 2. It's been very well stated and emphasized by many preachers throughout the years that God is called by different names here for a reason. It's one of the few places in Scripture where you find these names together. There are others, but there it's something that the Holy Spirit of God, that God the Father, they did it so that we could see that God can meet every need we have. And let me show you what I'm talking about. The first thing, if you'll notice in verse number 1 of Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of, look at this, the Most High. You see that? That's Elyon. That means that God is the provider, that God is the possessor of heaven and earth. And as possessor, God can do anything he chooses to do. And so I don't know what your situation is, but God does, and God can do anything he chooses to do. There is no limit to God. Amen. And so he uses that word, the psalmist does, to kind of let us know God has no limitations, so bring it all to him. Don't just bring, you know, the small stuff, or even some, as some would, the big stuff. God cares about the little stuff too. God cares about everything that's going on in your life. And so bring it all to him, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so he said here, the Most High, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now here it goes, shall abide under the shadow, here's our next one, of the Almighty. That's Shaddai, El Shaddai. So the Most High is Elyon, El Elyon. It means the possessor of heaven and earth. It means that God has it all. There's no limit to what God can do and what God has. He owns it all. And then the second is the Almighty, which is the El Shaddai. He's the great provider. It would be one thing to say God owned it all, but you know what this is saying? And he's willing to share it with you. Amen. I mean, it'd be one thing if I had it all, but if I'm not willing to share it with you, that's going to do you no good. And God has it all, and he said, not only that, I will take the possessions that I have, and I will share them as part of your provision. So bring me your cares. The third name that's mentioned is in verse number 2. I will say to, you see that, the Lord is all capitalized. That's Jehovah. That's Jehovah. And it means the God of promise. You know, the first time this word is used back in Genesis chapter 2, it's the God of the covenant. It means that you bring your trouble to me, and I promise you, I will make a covenant with you. I will meet your need. I will hear you. I will answer you. You can take my word because I'm the God of the covenant. And that's what that means. That when you see the all capital, it means Yahweh. It is Jehovah, the God of the covenant. And then finally, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. That is Elohim. That is the first mention of God in all the scripture back in Genesis chapter 1, which means the creator God, which means that there's nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing that God does not have. There's nothing that God will not share that is good for you. And because he is the creator God, all power rests in him. And there's nothing he cannot do. And so I'm thankful for that psalm. I need to be praying to this God more. How about you? How about you? Let's stand to our feet. I'm just going to ask you just to bow your head for a moment. I want you to think about your prayer life, the secret place.